according to the evangelist Saint Matthew.
Glory to thee, O Lord, glory to thee.
Let us attend. The Lord said to his disciples, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves, because you have brought no bread? Do you not yet understand, neither remember, the 5 loaves of the 5,000, and how many baskets you took up, neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000, and how many baskets ye took up? How is it that ye do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. At that time, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John his brother, and bringeth them up to a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, arise and be not afraid. And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead.
Glory to thee, O Lord, glory to thee.
Please be seated. Welcome today to the Feast of the Transfiguration. Today is the 6th of August. I just declared it. We have moved the feast today to celebrate it, which we have the liberty to do according to our bishop. And as you know, last year he was here on Monday. On Monday we celebrated, or rather on Sunday, what should have been Monday. And unfortunately he can't be with us here because of health. But what a great day it was last year, and what a great day it is today to be able to celebrate with you. Last year we had several men tonsured as readers and tonsured as subdeacons. This year we have none of that, but we have no bishop, so we couldn't have it without that. But we're here to celebrate the Transfiguration today. As I was thinking about the Transfiguration, I thought about these passages in light of the Transfiguration that we have today. In these passages today, we're asked several times to remember, to think upon, to take heed, to call to mind various things, events that have occurred, historical, real events. And these events that are there are for our admonition, as the apostle says. They're for us to take heed that we might stand lest we fall. They're warnings, they're signposts, they're pillars that we can look at and remember something that leads us to something. Of course, what God wants to lead us to is the penultimate experience, which is described on Mount Tabor as the Transfiguration, which we celebrate today, which is our church's feast. What a glorious event the Transfiguration is. I think in most of the Christian realm today, it's not given its due. This is the penultimate experience, to be with Christ, to see Christ more as he is than we could ever see him on our own in this life. And even at the Transfiguration, it says in our tropar
that the apostles could see the Lord only as much as they could bear to see him. They were still in the flesh. They weren't able to see the fullness of God, but they saw something which was magnificent, and which was Christ in light. When we baptize someone, we celebrate what we call an illumination, a coming in of light. God gives light to us at baptism. His Holy Spirit comes to dwell in us. We have something of his, a deposit which enables us to see him in a greater and greater way, spiritually, with spiritual eyes. And so it is today that God calls us to a mountaintop, to a relationship with him which culminates in life everlasting. To get to this mountaintop, by nature, as a mountain, we have to ascend. There's valleys in life. There's places we go that we descend to, figuratively and really. We can go down into the gutter of sin. But God calls us to ascend to the place where we can be with him forever. It's a destination, my brothers and sisters, that we seek. It's the end of our pilgrimage. It's the end of our life that we seek to be at that pinnacle, that mountaintop, where we can be transported from this life and the dimness which hides God into total and full illumination, where we can see God for what he is. This is the call of Mount Tabor. This is the call that God gives to you and to I. And the question really becomes then, in light of our readings, how do we get to this place? How do we arrive at the end of our life on the mountaintop and not somewhere short of it? I think today God would have us to remember. In your life, you've got several experiences, usually in a life which we could call mountaintop experiences. Perhaps it's a wedding, perhaps it's a graduation, perhaps it's getting a new job or a big raise or a big promotion, whatever it might be. Perhaps it's literally hiking a mountain. We don't get to the top of the mountain without work, without thinking about how to get there, without a path, without a plan. And so God calls us today in these readings to have a plan, to think on things, to remember certain things, which will be helpful so that we don't descend in life, but we ascend. That's his goal. He wants us to ascend in faith, to believe, first of all, that there is a mountaintop, that there is a place where we can meet Jesus Christ and be in his illuminating presence forever. That's the beginning of our faith. And then we need the faith to pursue a life that will wind up with us on that mountaintop and not somewhere short of it. Today we need to consider some events that God's given us for our admonition. In 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul writes, he says, these things were our examples for us that we can look at to help us to remember how not to get to the mountaintop. The Jewish people had been delivered in a great mountaintop experience. How great was it to walk through the Red Sea and see the waters as a wall? The scripture is very clear. The deliverance through the Red Sea wasn't just the sea getting blown back by the wind, and so you didn't see it. It was blown back by a supernatural low tide. No, it says the waters were a wall unto them on their right side and their left as they walked through. What a mountaintop experience. But seeing that mountaintop experience and coming through, being delivered through a figure of baptism to the other side, they then proceeded to lapse into unbelief. And so the scripture warns us. He says, in four places, he says, don't be idolaters, as some of them were. It was written, they sat down to rise to drink and they rose up to play. You'll remember when Moses was on the mountain, too long for the people to wait. They immediately began to play, to sport, to practice immorality, and to drift from God. He gives us another warning. He says, don't commit fornication, as some committed. This is the same people, again, that went through the Red Sea. They all saw the Red Sea. They all saw the deliverance. They saw the sea close behind them on Pharaoh's army to destroy Pharaoh's army. And yet, they committed fornication and fell in the wilderness, 24,000 that day. Sin waylays us on our ascent. Particular sins do. The lusts of the flesh. That's why we fast. Some may question, why does the Orthodox Church fast so much? Because we need to. We need to keep our flesh in check. And perhaps it is a hard road. Indeed, But the alternative to not fasting, to not abstaining from sinful things and the lust of the flesh, or that we're weak and we succumb to them and we fall, as some of them fell. The idolaters fell, the fornicators, those that fell to the lust of the flesh, they fell. And it says also, don't let us tempt Christ. Some of them were tempting Christ. And they were destroyed of serpents. Remember, Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, which was a figure of the cross. And those that came and venerated and looked upon that cross, that serpent, were delivered from the sting of the serpents that came from those that tempted Christ, complained. The last thing he says, we need to avoid is murmuring. Many of them also murmured continuously. Life was tough in the wilderness. They had to eat manna every day. It got boring, I guess. They got sick of seeing manna, so they began to complain about God's deliverance. That's a danger that everyone faces on their way to the mountaintop. To wonder where God is today and then start to complain about what he's done for you or hasn't done for you. The Apostle Paul says that these things that happened to the Jews, these terrible things that happened as a result of their falling away and not remembering God and where they were headed. They were headed to the Holy Land. They were headed to deliverance. But some didn't make it. Some fell aside. He says these things were written for our admonition, to take heed so that we can stand and that we don't fall. Let him that thinketh he stand take heed lest he fall. Be careful. These sins can wrap us up and they can waylay us. But not only does God give us warnings to remember, historical realities. These things really happen. Sometimes we start to think they're like fables, like myths, like the Apostle Peter says later. But these are factual, historical events that occurred. People perished. Sad events. These are warnings for us. Our first gospel in Matthew gives us some incentives, if you will, not just warnings. Jesus said, he said, take heed, beware the doctrine of the Pharisees. The Pharisees and the Sadducees had doctrines which they'd set up, doctrines which were the rules of men and not necessarily the rules of God. They had rules like if your parents needed something, you could say it was a gift and you could give them what they needed. Of course, the commandment says that you should honor your father and mother. It's a responsibility. You don't have the option to do it. It's a requirement. And so they made it Corban, or it's a gift, to honor your parents. It wasn't really a responsibility. It's something you did out of the goodness of your heart. Doctrines like this were doctrines of men apart from God. Be careful who you follow. Be careful who you listen to. The Pharisees and the Sadducees had many disciples who, like themselves, were deluded in bad doctrine. But Jesus says, don't follow their doctrine. But instead he says, by way of giving some examples, follow the one who has the power of God. You've seen, he said, you of little faith, miracles. Miracles of feedings and healings. Thousands being fed. Baskets being took up. We started with a few fish and a few loaves. And at the end there were baskets full, taken up as just the leftovers. You've seen all these miracles. You've seen the power of God. Think about him who's able to deliver you. And remember who he is and follow him. He says, don't follow the Pharisees and the Sadducees who point you in the wrong direction. But follow the power of God. He bade them to beware of the doctrine of the Pharisees. Doctrine that takes us away from God. You see, not just bad practice can take you away from the mountaintop and leave you short. But bad doctrine also can lead many astray. Who have maybe a desire to follow God, but ultimately sacrifice that mountaintop to follow something that's a doctrine of men. The Apostle Peter gives us some more warnings. He says, brethren, on your ascent, on your way to the mountaintop, to be transfigured to that place where the apostles got a glimpse of God's glory, give diligence to make your calling and your election sure. Don't think there's not such a thing as falling away. Our world's got a lot of doctrine that's false. One of them is the idea that by saying a prayer, I'm saved forever. And I'm a Christian no matter how I live. God says, you can fall. God says, the Jews fell. They were delivered. And many of them died in the wilderness and didn't get to that figure of paradise, which was the Holy Land. They died on the wayside. The Apostle Peter echoes that too. And many people don't like to hear the words of the Apostle Peter when he says, give diligence to make your calling and your election sure. It's not guaranteed you're going to make it to the mountaintop, my brother and sister. It's not guaranteed. We need to do some things, he says, so that we'll never fail. We can fall. Sin can wrap us up. Bad doctrine can waylay us. Things can take us aside. But we want an entrance administered to us by the angels at that day when we pass from this life into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so God says through the Apostle Peter, give diligence. And then he goes, he says, I won't be negligent. I'm going to put you in remembrance of these things that have happened and stir you up in a present truth, he says. And he's going to put you in remembrance of something. And what's that something? It's the transfiguration. He says, I want to, after my decease, you people have always in remembrance these things. Because we haven't followed bad doctrine. We haven't followed the doctrines of men. We were eyewitnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ. The power and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ on the mountain. We received from glory a voice that said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hearing the voice of the Father, seeing the Spirit in the cloud, and then seeing the Lord Jesus, the Holy Trinity, in the presence of God, they received glory from God directly. And he said, I want you to always remember that we're not following fables. We're following a risen Christ. We're following one who rose from the dead, who was transfigured on the mountain, and who finally ascended into heaven and prepared a place for you and for me. What we have to do to get there is to stay on the path that God's provided. By his grace, through faith, we follow him up the mountain. He's the one that carries us. He pushes us. He prods us. He chases us. He wants us at the mountaintop. But he won't force anyone to be on the mountaintop. We have a choice to make. Are we going to remember the things of God? Are we going to follow God? Are we going to consider the events that happened to the Jews for our admonition? Are we going to believe in he that turned the water into wine, that fed the 5,000, that fed the 4,000, that healed innumerable thousands, that ascended into heaven? Or are we going to follow men? We make a decision. He was transfigured before the apostles. Three men saw God in his glory just as much as they could bear. They were stricken with fear when they saw God. And they fell on their faces. They heard a voice. They saw the cloud. They saw the light. The transfiguration light. One of the attributes of God. One of the cataphatic, the true natures of God is that God is light. God in his essence is light somehow. Unknowable light, but in part. And we saw through the eyes of those three men, humans like us, something of the uncreated glory of God, the uncreated light on Mount Tabor. There's a voice that spoke from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son. Hear him. You don't need Moses and Elias. Hear him. You don't need the law. Hear him. You don't need some other way. Hear him. He's the one who speaks. He's the one that came and touched them and said, arise and don't be afraid. Carry on, climb, proceed, go up the mountain. God calls you, God calls me. He calls everyone to follow Jesus Christ in faith, to take up his cross, to ascend, to keep ourselves oriented to him, not to let our focus be diverted, not to let sins tear us down, not to let bad doctrine lead us astray, but to follow him up the mountain so that we can be where he is. Brothers and sisters, he calls you, this transfiguration, to be where he is. He wants you to be in his kingdom, his eternal kingdom. This one who rose from the dead. He calls us all. And may God give us the strength and the faith to follow him. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.